Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Friday morning on National Goof Off Day, if you need an excuse for goofing off. And in the last hour, we were talking about movies. And I just want to point out, not only is today, you know, for 80s movies fans like myself, and there were years in the 80s that I still argue were some of the greatest years ever for movies. The summer of 1989, I don't think any summer has ever competed with the summer of 1989 in terms of how many awesome movies we got that year. And most of them were sequels, but some of them were originals. Like, you know, that was the year we had Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Ghostbusters 2. We had Batman. We had The Karate Kid Part 3, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I mean, so many memorable films. I think Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. But a lot of those 80s movies that, you know, we hold dear, people might not still like today. I tried showing my son some of them when he was younger, and he was like, yeah, no thanks. But one that has held the test of time has been the Ghostbusters franchise. People are still just as into it today as they ever have been. And the new Ghostbusters film is out. I plan on seeing it this weekend. Reviews have been mixed, but that's okay. I expected that. And for me, it's, you know, I just enjoy spending time in that universe, in that world. But there's another 80s sequel coming out that the first teaser trailer dropped for yesterday. For Beetlejuice, the sequel to 1988's Beetlejuice, which also makes me think that there's definitely going to be a third one now, because it just makes sense to have Beetlejuice. But now I just said it three times, so that means either he's going to show up or Limon calls in, one of the two. But the teaser trailer that they put out for it looks pretty good. It seems to be a little bit more Tim Burton of the modern era in terms of the style of the filming, if that makes sense. It's a little bit more of a Victorian tin type feel to it. So, which I think will help with the atmosphere of the film. But it was pretty good. Just a little snippet that you got. I guess next week the full trailer comes out. It was supposed to come out this week, but they instead released the trailer for the Mad Max sequel or offshoot or whatever you want to call it. I think you can release two trailers in the same week, but apparently the movie studios disagree. So we'll just have to wait next week to see the full trailer for Beetlejuice, but it looks good and I'm excited to see it. Filmed here in Massachusetts in part. And also the other thing about these 80s movies coming back or, you know, having reboots or sequels. When people say, oh, Hollywood can't come up with anything original, I want you to just go back and look at some of the movies that we liked in the 80s when all this original stuff that was coming out was first coming out, and you can go back and read about how these movies were just remakes or reboots of other stories that had existed before. This has gone on forever. The only difference is it seems more egregious now because we have access to all of the films that these films are redos or adaptations of. You know, when the film Always came out in, I think, 1989, I think that was another Summer of 89 movie. The Steven Spielberg movie starring Richard Dreyfuss. It was a remake of a movie called A Guy Named Joe. Indiana Jones, who, you know, people railed about last summer. Oh, another Indiana Jones movie. They can't come up with anything original. Indiana Jones itself was kind of an amalgamation of 1930s and 40s action serials. Even Ghostbusters, to some degree, was inspired by the previous Ghostbusters, which was a comedy film, a comedy TV series, and later became a cartoon series. And I'm not talking about the real Ghostbusters. I'm talking about the Let's Go Ghostbusters, Let's Go, the Filmation Ghostbusters, which Phil's nodding his head. You remember with the gorilla and the two human beings? Based on an actual real TV show that existed before, starring Larry Storch and Forrest Tucker, the two guys from F Troop, and somebody in a gorilla suit.
I got excited because I was thinking of something else. I don't think I've seen it. I have to be honest.
The cartoon of the Ghostbusters? So you're probably, because how old are you?
37.
Yeah, so you're 10 years, almost 10 years younger than me. So it was definitely off TV by the time you were watching TV, and it wasn't something that they brought back. Like, you know, the real Ghostbusters, you can still find that today. But right. the ghost, and that's why it was called the real Ghostbusters, because this cartoon debuted before that cartoon did.
Sure. I think that's great. It adds to the lore of the whole universe, right?
But it's funny because that Ghostbusters existed before the movie Ghostbusters.
Mm.
But then there was also, I believe there's a 1940s movie called Ghostbusters 2. Not Ghostbusters 2, but also called Ghostbusters.
Right.
So it's just the whole thing is...
Yeah, hey, I love a good animated show. I mean, they had Back to the Future had a cartoon, didn't it?
And it was actually not that bad. I enjoyed it.
Right.
You had Doc and Marty and Clara and Jules and Vern, Einstein, all going around on the train.
That's the thing, is there's different ways in for everybody into entertainment like that. I think Back to the Future is my favorite movie now, but I got into it with a cartoon.
So the cartoon is what brought you into it?
Yeah, when I was a little kid.
Wow.
I didn't know about the movie. Then I said, oh, I got to watch this movie. Now it's my favorite trilogy. So
it's definitely my favorite trilogy. It's something that was a very 80s thing, to have a movie, to have a cartoon spinoff, to have a serial, to have toys. Like these, like you had to have the whole thing. And of course, we have Star Wars to thank for that, because that's what really started this whole merchandising kick. But I mean, there was a time when if there was a movie that came out and you liked it, you just made sure that the next time you went to the supermarket, you looked in the cereal aisle, because there was going to be a cereal.
Oh, yeah.
And usually it was I think it was Ralston Purina that used to come out with them all. And a lot of them were just a variation of the same cereal. So they had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Spider-Man cereal. Both kind of came out, you know, somewhat near each other. Spider-Man cereal was little Rice Chex type nets with Spider-Man related marshmallows. And Ninja Turtle cereal was little Ninja Turtles marshmallows with Rice Chex type nets, because they were like, turtles use nets to capture people. Like,
sure.
So
as long as it tasted good.
It did not.
Oh, okay.
No, that's the thing about those cereals, is you got them because you liked the characters, not so much because you liked the taste.
Right. You just power through it.
They were always weirdly too sweet.
Mm.
Like there was a Nintendo cereal, which This was like you asked your mom and dad, like, please can we get Nintendo cereal? Because you got two cereals in one. The box is split down the middle. And on one side, you had a bag that was Super Mario Brothers cereal. And on the other side was Legend of Zelda cereal. And the Mario was like fruity berry, like Captain Crunch type pieces. And the Legend of Zelda was, I believe, if I remember right, kind of the same idea, but just different flavors. And neither one of them were really very good.
Right.
But you still ask for it every time.
Yeah. Hey, marketing works.
I cared more about what the toy was in the box.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you ever hear that thing about in market? I don't think it's a secret, but it kind of creeps me out. The cartoon characters on the cereal boxes, almost all of them are looking down, and that's so they meet the eyes of the kid who is in the shopping cart.
That creeps me out. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Next time you're in the supermarket, look out for that.
Well, as somebody who is a 46-year-old man that still buys Pebbles cereal, I will definitely look and check that out next time.
Oh, yeah.
Which is even more disappointing because to this day, I still get to the bottom of the box. I'm like, there's no prize inside.
Very sad.
They don't do that anymore. Well, I guess we kind of got into it. So if you want to bring up any memories like this, sure, 508-996-0500. After all, it's National Goof Off Day, so we don't have to be serious the whole time. But I was someone who was all like, you know, we didn't go out to play a lot when I was a kid. I watched a lot of TV, a lot of movies, and so that was kind of my world. I read a lot of books too, but that was kind of my world. So I was all in. If you had a cartoon show for a movie, I was watching the cartoon show. I was buying the cereal. I was buying the toys. And it's funny because I will go back on YouTube and watch like old commercial blocks from the 1980s. Like here's the commercials that ran on Channel 56 during G.I. Joe. And then you watch it and you're like, this is every commercial was either for a toy or for a breakfast cereal. Or, you know, something kid food related, like Sunny Delight or Pop-Tarts or something. And this was kind of the first time they were really doing that. Marketing to teenagers and to, you know, adolescents started in the 50s. But really marketing to the preteens and the 9-year-olds and the 10-year-olds and the 8-year-olds, that kicked into high gear in the 1980s. And, you know, there's a lot of talk these days about Nickelodeon because of the ID series that came out that looks at some of the abuses on the sets of the Dan Schneider shows. And you should definitely watch that docuseries. It's 4 hours, but it's in two parts and it's disturbing. But you also can kind of see how that world is created where everything is for the kids, but it's by adults. And you have to wonder about what the actual intentions are behind it. Like, why is Dan Schneider making shows for kids that have adult humor in them? And like Phil was saying there with the characters in the cereal boxes, they're intentionally making it so that they're looking at the kids. Like, this is all strategy. It's all planned. One of the things that I saw when I was younger that really blew my mind was there was a TV special about making commercials and why the food that you get in the restaurant or that you make at home never looks like it does in the commercial. And they showed the tips and tricks they do for actually, you know, filming those commercials or taking those photos that go on the box. So, for example, if you were to film cereal in a bowl, I mean, like I said, I love Pebbles. That's one of my indulgences for carbs is having cereal. I don't have it a lot, a couple times a month, but I've got it on hand, and I love Pebbles. But you pour a bowl of Pebbles in the kitchen, you cover it with milk, and then by the time I go and walk to sit in my recliner and watch TV and eat my cereal, it's already starting to get soggy. How do you film a commercial? I know they use the Flintstones in the commercial, so it's a cartoon. But, you know, but how do you film things? And if it's going to get soggy that fast, well, the milk in cereal in commercials is Elmer's glue. They pour the cereal, They pour the Elmer's glue, and they pour the cereal over the Elmer's glue to make it look like it's a full bowl of cereal, but it's just a bowl of glue with some cereal on top. And then it can sit there for hours and nothing gets soggy. And I don't even want to get into how they do the McDonald's commercials and make that food look like it does. But I can tell you, I got a Whopper the other day. I got a, what do you call it? The Impossible Whopper. Had a little reward from my cell phone company. And I was like, well, free lunch. Going to go cash it in. So I went over and got the Impossible Whopper. And you look at the photo on the app or the commercials or everything. This thing looks like it's like 3 inches thick. There was nothing to it. And this isn't shrinkflation like we've been complaining about. This is just the nature of marketing and the ways that they fool you with it. I'm sure many of us, you know, people complain now about, oh, I saw this thing online from Wish or from Shine or Sheen, whatever it is. I saw this thing and, when I ordered it and it arrived and it looked nothing like what I thought it was going to be. And I can't believe this. This is so horrible. What a ripoff. It's nothing like the advertisement said. Why is this happening now? As if this is some sort of new phenomenon. Any kid that ever ordered anything from the back of a comic book knows exactly what you're going through. Oh, I'm going to order. Look at this family of sea monkeys. I'm going to order this. And then when they arrive at my house, they're all going to have little smiling faces and they're going to wave to me. And look at the sea monkey dad all dressed up in a suit going to work with his little sea monkey briefcase. I can't wait to have these sea monkeys. And then you order them and it looks like a fish just pooped in the tank. Sea monkeys are just brine shrimp. And they're gross and they smell. I think that was the first time I ever had my heart broken by marketing, was when I got sea monkeys. I think they lasted 2 or 3 days before we flushed them down the toilet. And I was like, I'm sorry, you're not going to get to go to your sea monkey job. But what about X-ray glasses? If you ever order the X-ray glasses from the back of a comic book, oh man. This is going to be great. I'm going to be able to see everybody's bones. Or depending on what comic book you got, I'm going to be able to see through people's clothes. And then when you got them, all they did was they kind of made everybody have like a weird, scratchy outline around them. They were not X-ray glasses. I think those were probably the two biggest disappointments. But pretty much everything I got from the back of a comic book did not live up to the hype. If you ever got anything from the back of a comic book that actually lived up to or exceeded your expectations, give me a call. 508-996-0500. Right now, though, I'm going to take a break. And the best Lenny Kravitz song of all time. So we were talking about some of the things you could order out of the back of comic books. And as I mentioned, a lot of them were disappointments, didn't live up to the hype and weren't really true as to what they advertised. Like, did anybody ever become a powerhouse by buying a Charles Atlas guide from the back of a comic book? Maybe. I mean, maybe there's some muscular guys out there that are like, yeah, I bought that Charles Atlas book and that's what started me on my path. But I don't think it transformed people like it said that it did. But there was one ad that, as unbelievable as it seemed, actually delivered on what it said that it would. But people got more than they bargained for. So coming up after the news, I'll get into that just because I think it's an interesting story. And maybe you will as well. So we can talk about that. We can also take your phone calls, 508-996-0500. Just having some fun on National Goof Off Day. You can tell me about the best thing you ever got out of a comic book or out of a box of cereal or any of that stuff. And when you hear about this thing that was actually true, might have been the most expensive thing you could order out of the back of a comic book at almost $20. But unbelievably, it was legitimate. So we'll get into all that. But right now, let's go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt.
The U.S. calls for a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. More American citizens return from Haiti. And a big day for Star Wars fans isn't far, far away.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The U.S. is calling for a ceasefire agreement and supports the two-state solution in the Israel-Hamas war. While speaking in Egypt, Secretary of State Antony Blinken told reporters a proposal for a ceasefire with the release of hostages held by Hamas is on the table. He added that Hamas has responded to that deal and gaps in negotiations are narrowing. A second flight of American citizens has landed safely in the United States after fleeing Haiti. On Thursday, a flight evacuating 80 Americans arrived in Miami. The State Department has encouraged all U.S. citizens to leave Haiti as political unrest and gang violence escalate. The Department of Justice is suing Apple for alleged antitrust law violations. The DOJ, along with 16 state and district attorneys general, claim Apple has monopolized the smartphone market by blocking competitors from accessing hardware and software features of the iPhone. Apple pushed back in a statement claiming the lawsuit is wrong on the facts and the law. No charges will be filed regarding a fight that occurred one day before the death of an Oklahoma teenager. Officials have ruled 16-year-old Nex Benedict's death a suicide. Almost half of prisons in the U.S. are located downstream from water sources that likely contain cancer-linked forever chemicals. That's according to a new study published in the American Journal of Public Health. Insufficient water quality testing around prisons means officials have only found that 5% of prisons are located in places that definitively contain the toxic compounds. One of the last remaining survivors of the Japanese surprise attack on Pearl Harbor has died. Richard C. Higgins died of natural causes Tuesday at a home in Bend, Oregon, according to his granddaughter. He was 102. Higgins was stationed at the Pearl Harbor Naval Base as a radio man. And all 9 Star Wars movies are returning to theaters this spring, and they'll be shown in chronological order. Lucasfilm announced Thursday that the Skywalker saga is being shown to celebrate the 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Bruins fell to the New York Rangers last night 5-2. They play the Philadelphia Flyers on Saturday afternoon. Red Sox and Toronto Blue Jays in spring training today at 1. And the Celtics are in Detroit to play the Pistons tonight at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
It is cold. Bundle up. Don't be deceived by the sunshine. It feels like in the teens this morning. Sunny around 40 this afternoon with very light wind overnight. Tonight, clouds increase. Saturday, pre-dawn showers move in and the rain will persist throughout the day. Do expect soaking rain and the threat for flooding is there. Temperatures will be climbing into and around 50. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
If I had my time again, I would do it all. Situation now.
fully grown.
And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Yeah, I'm fully grown, but I still like to read comic books. And when I was younger, you know, it wasn't just about getting the newest comic books. It was about collecting old comics, too. And back then, this was before people were really serious comic collectors. So you could go to a flea market, a yard sale, whatever, get a big box of comics for a buck or two, and you'd read them all. And if you liked them, you held on to them. If you didn't like them, trade them to your friends and, you know, maybe trade them in for some other comics or something. You could always go down to the comic book shop and be like, here's 20 comics. Okay, well, now you can go pick a new Spider-Man. You know, like that kind of stuff was going on. So in these old comics, I always saw an ad that I wanted to cash in on. But by the time I saw these ads, which were from like 50s and 60s comic books, by the time I saw them in the 80s, you couldn't really do this anymore. But back in the day, and some of you know what I'm talking about here, they used to have an ad in the back of comic books to get your own live pet monkey. You could get a monkey for the low, low price of $18.95. Not $1,895. $18.95 would get you delivery of a live monkey. Which I'm sure most people saw this ad and thought, this is some kind of scam. There's no way they're going to send me a monkey for 20 bucks. But here's the rub. It was true. You actually could get a live monkey delivered to you for under 20 bucks. This is the ad. Darling pet monkey, $18.95. This squirrel monkey makes an adorable pet and companion. Almost human with its warm eyes. Your family will love it. These young monkeys grow about 12 inches high. Eats the same food as you, even likes lollipops. Simple to care for and train. Free cage, free leather collar and leash, free toy, and instructions included. Live delivery guaranteed. Only $18.95 Express Collect. Mail check or money order to, and it was an animal farm in Miami Beach, Florida. And yeah, when you sent them your $18.95, they shipped you a live monkey. Now, from some of the things that I've seen online, they didn't always arrive live, but they arrived. You got your monkey. But there's a lot of horror stories about these monkeys because squirrel monkeys that are just thrown in a box and shipped around the country, understandably, are traumatized by the experience. You know, these were not like something that they took care of and had a courier delivered to you or anything. They put them in a box with a mesh screen on it and just shipped them on a plane, like regular cargo. These monkeys were not well cared for on their way there. They were already not trained or anything. So when they showed up, they just destroyed the homes of everybody that ever got one. You would open up this box and be like, oh, yay, my favorite. Oh, I got a pet monkey. I'm so excited. Open up the thing and the monkey would just poop all over you. Because monkeys do two things on a regular basis, very regular basis. They poop and then they pick that poop up and throw it. And then they also do something else that you'll be very disappointed that that's all your pet monkey does all day. There may be kids listening, but you can imagine what I'm talking about. So these monkeys, that's all they would do. They were not the adorable companions that people made them out to be. They were vicious little creatures that did not want to live in somebody's house and be fed lollipops. And one of my favorite stories that I read online was there was a family that ordered one, two brothers that ordered one of these monkeys. It arrived during their mother's bridge club meeting, and the monkey came out of the box and apparently did not want to poop in the box during shipping, so he had been waiting. He took care of that problem as soon as he got out of the box. He ended up biting some woman on the breast, running around the house, and eventually got loose and was found dead not that long later in the woods near this person's house. But my favorite part of the story is that these kids, these two boys, were looking for this monkey forever. The mother would get the newspaper and cut out the stories where it said that the monkey had been spotted in the neighborhood because she didn't want her sons to find the monkey and bring it back home. There's other stories where they say, you know, some of these monkeys live to be like 5 or 6 years old. but never calm down. I don't know about you. My mom was not letting me keep a monkey for 5 years if it was acting like that. We had kids in the house that were acting like that. We didn't need a monkey doing it too. But people actually ordered live monkeys and got them delivered. Now, the problem is in Massachusetts, by the time I was a kid and seeing these ads, it didn't matter if Animal Farm was even still shipping out monkeys. Because in Massachusetts, you can't own a monkey. I'm sure some people still do, but it's illegal to own a monkey in Massachusetts. Otherwise, I would probably have one by now. But a well-trained one. Not a squirrel monkey that would, you know, bite my face and poop all over the place. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
I remember babysitting somebody's spider monkey. And this monkey was so cute. And it was supposed to be a little girl. But they would go to schools and stuff and show the kids and have, like, assemblies and stuff like that and have monkeys run around and chase up on kids. But it was, they were boys. They were little boy monkeys. And one of them was supposed to be a girl. It was, like, two supposed to be a girl, but one of them especially. Is it politically correct to say that it was effeminate? You know, it's very, you know, very much so. And it was funny because it's like I would take the monkeys and I would go take them to the casinos, take them to taking them to the Silver Nugget one time. Oh, this was years ago. But they were like walking around and everybody's like, oh, let me see your monkey. Get a picture monkey. They were all like, everybody was so nice and adorable to them. And they come up and start trying to give them cocktails and stuff like that. So just give them the orange slices and whatnot out of there and whatever. Or they like lemons too. They don't like lemons too much. They'll eat them. They'll have that monkey, the ugly, that sour monkey face they'd get. Oh, children. So that was kind of fun back in those days. And it's like, oh, the weekend's coming, huh? Weekends were made for fun. So and actually, another thing that they used to have that was really deadly, they have in comic books, you could go ahead and order uranium.
From the back of a comic book?
Yes, in the comic book. It was more in the middle of the comic book. It was part of the comic book, yes. Uranium and also like chemistry sets and stuff like that with all kinds of things, all kinds of stuff. And I remember when they had, you ever heard of the Yellow Kid? He was back in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, the first comic strip.
Okay, yes, well, him. They had, one thing with him, they had, it was natural things. They had marijuana and they had cocaine and morphine and opium as little things they had you could order from the thing too.
Well, like, by the time I was getting comic books, those weren't in there anymore.
I know.
But we could get Tang. Tang was available through comic books before it was on the supermarket shelf.
But that's why it wasn't popular, because they don't want to get ripped off. Why are you going to pay $8? For a pack of Tang, you only get the tuh, not the ang. You get the tuh.
You got the whole Tang, you know? Full Tang.
Exactly. That's terrible. You're gonna get pay for what you're gonna get, and then hopefully you enjoy it. So like I said, when's the last time you've seen anybody drinking Tang?
I don't know. I don't even think it's around anymore, is it?
Oh yeah, it is. It's still in the stores. Yes, it is. Huh? But what I used to like to do. I would like to take and, you know, get a nice big cup, and I'd make it warm. I'd like have like, you know, so people like, you know, how you get the orange juice, it's help you expectorate and stuff like that. But when it's hot, it's even better. And it's like, you know, exactly.
Well, I got a feeling this is going somewhere that's inappropriate for morning radio.
But not for me.
I got to hold you anyway, Lamone. I got to take a break, but thank you for the call. You enjoy your hot Tang out there in Las Vegas.
I'm going to ask you one question.
Yes.
Just ask everybody in your listening area. As today, over this weekend, and see how many different ethnic people you see out there in your part of the woods. You know, not on television. You know, because anybody can see about, oh, look, there goes Florida from good times. I'm talking about any of it, like you see it out there and out and about, you know, not over the television, but just somewhere else, like in as you're everyday walking or whatever. Count how many different ethnic categories you can mark. Count how many you can put into them. And it's like I've got a lot of other people doing this too. I'm taking a I'm taking a little quiz, a census on things.
Well, we'll see if we can get you some data on that. All right, Lamone, I got to hold you there.
You have a safe weekend, and may the good Lord smile upon you, all of y'all, in New Bedford. Take it light, player.
Take it easy. All right, that is... people say, how did you end up with Lamone calling you every day from Las Vegas? I said, well, see, I answered the ad in the back of a comic book, and that's what happened. I got an actual comic book character to call into the show. All right, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Phil if he's not, but he can share with you the story of Fall River's monkey. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, as we are talking about monkeys, you know, Phil Devitt brought up a great point that Fall River once had a monkey living there, right? And a very famous location.
It did. Well, don't all things in Fall River eventually go back to Lizzie Borden?
That is true.
Somehow, yeah. So, well, she was an animal lover, but this kind of happened at her house long after she was dead. So for people who don't know, Lizzie, you know, allegedly committed the murders on 2nd Street in Fall River. She moved up to a nice big house that's near Charlton Memorial today. So she died in 27, and then other people lived in the house, just a regular house. And I guess in the 1950s or 60s, there was a family there, and they had a monkey in a cage in the kitchen of the home. I think it was a capuchin. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, capuchin. That's what most people get if they had a pet monkey. That's like Marcel from Friends. You know, that's that type of monkey.
Right. Okay. So, you know, your standard monkey. And so they had one of these, and the story goes that it was an adventurous monkey, and one day it got out and made its way out into the street in front of the home at the same time that a car driven by the man of the house was coming down the street. For whatever reason, he had the Bishop of Fall River in the car with him at the time, and that was James Connolly. So it sounds like a bad joke, but there's a bishop in the car coming face to face with this capuchin monkey in the middle of a street in Fall River. Car stopped short, almost hit the monkey. It would have been horrific had that happened. But yeah, there's these stories. The monkey would ride the family dog and they'd be making trouble all over the house. So there's a whole other leg of Maplecroft there that people don't know about.
And then there was the part where the monkey took an axe and killed his stepmother and his father.
Absolutely.
Did that part? No, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, but those are the days when you could get a monkey. Like, I'm sure there were more people that had monkeys that probably had wild adventures. We just didn't hear about them. But it was, I guess, legal back then. I think it was the late 70s when they actually put the law on the books that you couldn't have a monkey. But you would think you'd hear more stories about people having owned monkeys.
You would. It's sort of, I don't know if people are ashamed or if it's like their little secret now, you know, the family shame that we once owned a monkey. I don't know.
Would you want a monkey if you could have one?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What type would you want?
You know, I don't really know. I don't, I'd like to keep my options open. When I was a kid, I was obsessed with monkeys, anything to do with monkeys. So, you know, I'd watch these documentaries and see these really wild ones out in the trees and, you know, rainforest or whatever. It's, I got to get one of those. So.
See, I always wanted a chimpanzee, like, you know, Bear from BJ and the Bear, or I wanted an orangutan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, I wanted one that was actually going to be like, you know, my size and could actually do things for me so I could like teach the monkey to do things. And, but I got a feeling that, you know, whichever one I got, it would have just, I'd be like, hey, you know, Willie, go get me a soda out of the fridge. You'd be like, do that thing where they like stick their tongue out at you or whatever. And,
right.
Do the Zerbert.
It almost sounds like a sitcom.
I mean, it could have been.
Yeah.
My life should have been a sitcom. Well, thank you for the information, Phil, and I hope that someday you can still get that monkey.
That would be great.
Well, let's get an office monkey.
Please. At the very least, come on. We would be great to it.
I think that's a fair ask. We'll have to talk to Mark about that. All right, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. I have two monkey stories for you, actually. One is, in the 60s, my dad had a friend, and he had a monkey. And his friend, like, sleeping, you know, naked. And I guess the monkey was out running, you know, roaming around. I guess he let him out, and he bit him, you know, where.
Oof.
And needless to say, that was the end of the monkey. Never going to have another monkey again. I can only imagine the pain he must have felt from that. But I'll never forget that story because I was young. I was probably like 6, 7, 8 years old when I heard that story, and I never forgot it. And I always loved monkeys. My favorite monkey is orangutans. I love the orangutans. I think they're so lovable and sweet. And so that's a monkey that I've always just loved. But the second story is years ago in Mars Bargain Land here in New Bedford, they had a grocery store attached to it with a belt that would come down, you know, bring your groceries down this conveyor belt. And they had monkeys in cages back in the day. They actually had live monkeys, but this was, you know, like a long time ago.
Like to buy, you know, they had them as like pets there.
You could, I'm pretty sure you could buy them.
Man.
You know, I didn't live, I've lived all over the place, so that's why I don't really have the accent from here, but I've had people tell me they've seen these monkeys and all. So it had to have been, I moved here like in the late 70s, and Mars Bargain Island was still there, and of course there weren't any monkeys there at the time, but I heard people talking about live monkeys that I think you could buy, actually. Well, they had them in cages.
The phone lines are lit up. I got a feeling people are calling in with monkey stories, which is awesome. I hope so. I hope that's what the case is. I got to hold
you there. I love monkeys, too, but you're right. Like, even in the movies, you see, there was one movie I saw. I can't remember the name of it, but they had the monkey smoking cigarettes constantly. I guess he wanted cigarettes.
Well,
he
one of the monkeys in Project X smoked cigarettes with Matthew Broderick. Mm.
Maybe that's what I saw, but I'll never forget the monkey was smoking cigarettes constantly.
I got to hold you there because I got to take a final break here, but thank you for the call and the monkey stories.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great day now.
You too. And callers, hang on. We will get to you. I'm not monkeying around, but I got to take this break. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.